They've started already out there. Just a couple of things. Just a testimony, first of all. You may remember last week, Russell was leading the meeting and we prayed about, Russell prayed and led us about the man who had the motor accident and had two bleeds on his brain and major back problems. When they visited him in hospital on the Monday, that's the next day, no bleeds on the brain. And he's just sitting up in bed, and they put a strap on his back and not going to have any surgery. So God answers prayer.
Lord, yes.
In impossible situations, God is still in charge. So that's a testimony. Then I want to just say this to a number of you. Thank you for your help in various areas. You all do great things. We appreciate all of it. Don't think you're not appreciated. You really are. And, if we could do something exceptional for each of you, I'd like to do that. But we'll just wait on God and see what God says about that. Now, one other thing I want to say. It's somebody's birthday tomorrow. Ulu, happy birthday tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Got your Bible this morning? You know, I was praying through the week about what I could share with you, and I had several thoughts, and here's the message that I've come up with this morning. If you write titles down, you could write this down. I've called this, Can You See It? I wonder if you've ever seen one of those children's puzzle books. You know, you get a little puzzle book and there's a picture drawn on a page, and it might be a picture of, say, a stream or a wooded area or something like that. Bit like, have you ever seen the Where's Wally books?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about, that kind of thing. It may say, in this picture, there's hidden, there's a duck, a boy, a bucket, a zebra, a boot, a whatever, hidden in the picture. When you look at the picture, you just see a picture of a stream and some trees, and you know. But then when you start to look a little closer, and you really begin to concentrate on what you're looking at, you begin to see all of these things. You can see the boy perhaps hiding in the bushes by the stream, or, and if you look close enough, there's the zebra, it's upside down in the tree, and all this kind of thing. You know, you see, you have to really, really look for these things. But initially, they were all invisible because you couldn't see them. Your mind wasn't concentrating on the thing at hand. You weren't really looking clearly at it. But once you begin to concentrate on the picture and know that you're looking for something, then suddenly it's almost like it jumps out of the page. Oh, there it is, there it is, there it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, these things had, as I said, they had been invisible. But I said many years ago, if you want to do the impossible, you're going to have to be able to see the invisible.
Yes.
And that's been one of the things that I've carried with me, and I can't remember now where I first heard it or who said it, but it was something I tucked away, and I've kept it over the years, and I've liked it and used it and shared it with other people. If you got your Bible, turn in Hebrews 11 with me, please. In Hebrews 11, and I want to read to you a little bit about Moses, and we'll use that as a sort of launching place this morning. In Hebrews 11, find verse 23. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. They saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches and treasures of Egypt, he looked for his reward. Now we'll stop there. This is a story about Moses, and Moses never ever intended to be in the wilderness for 40 years. That wasn't what he was planning. But when he had been born, as that story tells us, he was a fair child or a good-looking child, and his parents were Hebrews, They were Israelites, and they didn't want him to be killed because the law had come out that Pharaoh was killing all the firstborn children. And so the firstborn male children were all to be killed. So they put him in a little basket, and he floated off down the river and got the basket stopped in some bulrushes. And you know the story because you've heard it many times. Pharaoh's daughter was bathing in the river. She was there with the ladies who looked after her while she was bathing, and she saw this little basket with a baby in it, and so she took the baby in the basket home. Her father was the Pharaoh, he was the king, and so literally what happened was she adopted Moses as her own, and so he became the grandson of the king, or the grandson of the Pharaoh, and he grew up in Pharaoh's court. But as he came to manhood, he never ever lost his respect for the faith that had been part of his heritage. And when he was growing up and became a man, one day he saw an Egyptian who was mistreating a Hebrew slave. And he got angry about it, and so he got hold of that Egyptian and killed the Egyptian with his bare hands. Now, because of that, even though he was the adopted grandson of the Pharaoh, he had to flee the country, and he flew. I was going to say flee. That didn't sound right. He ran away. He ran away to a land called Midian. And when he got to Midian, he lived there for the 40 years. He got married. He raised a family. He looked after his flocks. And he maintained his faith in God. He kept on believing that God had a purpose in his life. And you may say, well, how did all of that happen? Here's God looking after him out here in the desert. Well, in John 4 and 24, and we needn't go there, it says this, that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God is a spirit and Moses is worshiping him out in the desert, how did he see him? The next verse in Hebrews 11 tells you, verse 27. It says, by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, listen to this, as seeing him, that's God, who is invisible. He began to see what he couldn't see. So many times people are looking at what they can see, they're not looking at what they can't see. And there's a difference. Let me read that verse to you in the Amplified Bible. Hebrews 11, 27, Amplified. He says, motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king. For he never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him, that's God, who is invisible. So he got his eyes off the present problem, his eyes off this difficulty, and he began to look at what he couldn't see. He began to put his concentration on God, whom he loved and had been part of his heritage. So how do we do that? I mean, here we are today in this year that we're in now. What year is this? 2014. A few weeks after Moses had this experience. So how do you and I handle all of this at this time in our life? Well, it says Moses did it by faith. So we're going to have to do the very same thing. We're going to have to do it all by faith. We're going to have to see God by faith, seeing him who is invisible. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, now you need to get some of these verses and tuck them away, because the things that I try to share with you here and also on Tuesday nights, I share them with a view to having you be successful, to enjoy a better life than perhaps you have had up to now. Things have been difficult maybe in your life, I don't know. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Now this is speaking about Christ or about Jesus. And it says, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through the blood, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now listen to verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. Who is he? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Christ. It says he is the image of the invisible God. For by him all things were created, things that are in heaven, things that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. The Amplified Bible says, now he's exact likeness of the unseen God. He's a visible representation of the invisible. He's the firstborn of all creation. Who is he? He's the Word. You want to see what God's like? Here it is. You look in the book, you begin to see he is the visible manifestation of the invisible God. So how does that apply to us? Well, let's go to Romans. Some wonderful scriptures. How many of you got the little message I sent you out yesterday on the phone? If you haven't read that, you ought to, because it'll help you live the life. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, Romans 1:20, King James Bible, or the New King James, says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let me read the Amplified. For ever since creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, has been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, that is, his handiworks, so men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. So there's no defense for not being able to understand what this is all about. Today, we need to understand that we have this Word. We can look at this Word. We can see God. We can see evidence of God by what is happening in the world around about us. I was reading, when I was preparing this, I read an article about a man called Daniel Kish, K-I-S-H. And the story says that Daniel Kish had been blind since he was 1 year old. Yet he can navigate in the wilderness. He can ride a mountain bike alone, and he can recognize a building from as far away as 1,000 feet. He's blind. I wonder how many of us could navigate our way around in the wilderness alone. How many of us can ride mountain bikes or even recognize a building 1,000 feet away? How is it possible for a blind man to do that? Well, his story is interesting. It says, just in the same way that bats can maneuver in the dark, this man, since infancy, has been adapting his blindness in remarkable ways, in that he uses what he calls flash sonar, or echolocation, if you like. And this is what it says. He produces a brief but sharp click with his tongue, and the sound waves bounce off every object around about him. And they come back at a reduced capacity to his ears, but still perceivable. He has trained himself to hear these slight echoes and to interpret their meaning. Standing on the front step of his home, he can visualize with an extraordinary degree of precision the two pine trees on the front of his lawn and the curb at the edge of his street. He's blind. Seeing the invisible is not something that people generally are very good at. It's not just human nature even to try it, but it can be done. See, he's a blind man, and he sees more than most people see. What's our excuse? We're born again. We need to start and develop what I call this sixth sense, a sense of faith.
Yes.
You know, we have five senses, and you know all about those. But there is a sixth sense. It's not something weird or strange, but it's a sense of faith. And that sense of faith comes. Faith comes by hearing this. It comes by hearing the Word of God. Now let me read Romans 1:20 to you again, having just put that little thought there in. It says, for ever since the creation of the world, this is Amplified, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiwork, so men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. That's one of Elizabeth's favorite verses.
The bluebells.
Well, you can tell them about the bluebells. Come up here so it goes on this.
Norm uses all the big words, but I make it very simple because I'm like that. I'm just like a child, I understand. Because I was in my early teens and I went walking way along the little lanes in Ireland, Northern Ireland, and in a farm, I sat on a gate, and as I looked out, all I could see was bluebells for as far as you could see. Bluebells and bluebells and bluebells. And I knew that God was real because there was nobody planted them. And that's why every man, you think, you make excuses for people not knowing the Lord. There's no excuse. They've only got to look at a flower. They've only got to look at a tree and know that God is real.
Amen, that's right. Yeah, think about that. I mean, all those flowers, those bluebells, just out there, nobody planted them. Yeah. God scattered them there. Can I tell you something? God is extravagant. Yeah. He's not meager in his gifts to us. You read today's newsletter. He just wants to bless and bless and bless and bless. He has abundantly blessed us. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we got four or five scriptures we look at. We got time. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. Find verse 17. Again, I'm just reading from the New King James Bible. Ephesians 1:17. And it says this. This is Paul praying for spiritual wisdom for the church. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Isn't it verse 18? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then he goes on into verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness? I mean, this is scattering those bluebells. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the mighty working of his power. So we have no excuse. We are without excuse. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll pick up another thought there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, find verse 16. Now, you may have a little subheading in your Bible. I don't know. In this Bible that I have, there's a little subheading at verse 16, and it says, seeing the invisible. This is what it says. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Now, Paul says here, we don't lose heart. So many people lose heart. You know, something happens, there's a disaster, some difficulty, and they lose heart. They lose sight, if you like, of the things that God has prepared for. Don't do that. You have to keep your eyes fixed on the things of God. Start to see the things that you can't see. Paul prayed that the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, that they would begin, you'd begin to see. Then he goes on, verse 17 here, he says, for our light affliction, whatever the problem is, it's light, and it's the Amplified says, for our light momentary affliction, the slight distress of the passing hour. So it doesn't matter what it is, it's only light in comparison to eternity. Paul is saying that the present circumstances are nothing compared to the future glory, compared to the exceeding greatness of all that God has planned for us. I mean, if we could even just begin to get a little glimpse of what heaven really is all about, and we'd all say, let's go today. Who would want to hang around? Let's go and get all that God has for us. See, everything that you can see with your natural eyes, that you heard what Naomi was talking about this morning, that's every sickness, every financial lack, every problem, every difficulty is in the sight realm. You look at your bank account and you say, oh, you know, we're low. You look at your body and it tells you you're sick. It's all to do with your sight. Everything you need, every piece of food, every new tire for your bicycle, new tire for your car, every new piece of furniture, whatever it is, every new thing that you need, it's already available. Maybe if you're in business, I'm thinking about Ian being every contact for your business, everything you need. Well, for the ladies, every new dress.
Yeah.
Well, for us guys, every new pair of pants. Everything that you need has already been provided by God and is available in a realm which you can't see with your natural eyes.
Yes.
It's in the invisible realm. So your faith, your eyes of faith, reach out into that invisible realm, grab a hold of the thing that you're believing for, and start pulling it back into now.
Amen.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So faith becomes your evidence. We reach out there and we begin to pull it back into today. Then he says in verse 18, we're still in 2 Corinthians 4. He said, this is how it works. While is an interesting word. While we look not at the things which are seen. While we look not at the lack. While we look not at the sickness. While we look not at the poverty. While we look not at the difficulty. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How do we do that? You get these eyes of faith, the eyes of your understanding. You start to see with the eyes of your spirit man. You begin to look into the future, so to speak. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The Amplified Bible says, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, they're brief and fleeting, but the things that are visible are deathless and everlasting.
Yeah.
Deathless and everlasting. So we have to learn to focus on the unseen. Focus on the realm of the eternal. Focus on the realm of the glory, if you like. Focus on the realm where God is. And don't look at the present uncomfortable situations. Oh, if only I had this or that or the other. No, forget all that. Just start to see God has provided everything you need.
Amen.
You have to start and live this life that God has provided by faith. We learned this a long time ago.
Yeah.
You can't look to what you've got or what you don't have. You have to see what God is saying. Because it's all to do with this book. It's all to do with this word.
Amen.
So we look into this eternal realm. We begin to enjoy it, even though it's way out there, but our faith is enjoying it today. So we start to live in it today. The truth of the Word of God is more important than what you do, what you have or don't have. It's more important than what you do or don't do. The truth of the Word of God doesn't change. It's always, always, always the same. Now listen, Paul says, listen to this. He says, since we do not look at the things which are seen. Now, I want you to understand this, because when you start to study it a little bit, he is not saying to ignore them. What he's saying is don't keep on looking at them.
Yeah.
Did you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, got it.
Don't ignore these things, but don't keep looking at them. Because if you keep looking at them, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. See, what you look at, you start to draw strength from. What you look at, you start to draw strength from. Thank you, Father, that you're more than enough. Thank you, Father, that you've made provision for me. Thank you, Father, that Jesus went to Calvary so that I can have all of my needs met. All my needs are already met in Christ. See, you have to understand that the eyes of your faith can see much more than the eyes that are in your head. The eyes of your faith look out into that realm where God is. Faith doesn't deny the problem. It just chooses not to acknowledge it.
Amen.
Your body may be hurting today. You may be in some sort of pain. But you face a choice. Am I going to start talking about the pain, or am I going to start talking about the answer? Thank God we have an answer. Thank God the answer is already made available. Corrie ten Boom made this. I like this. Corrie ten Boom said, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and then receives the impossible.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I like that. I'm going to read that again. Every time I read that, I think, man, that was good. Listen to this. She says, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. What a great woman she was, Corrie ten Boom. Yeah. See, we don't look at the circumstances. We choose to ignore the circumstances. We see the invisible. We start to look beyond what's happening. We start to see into the spirit realm, because you can't see in the spirit realm with these eyes. Flesh eyes can't see spirit. You need spirit eyes to see spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So many times when it comes to worship, people think, oh, it's the raising of the hands or the dancing or whatever it is. But you see, we've got to see with spirit eyes. We begin to worship God in spirit. It's not in raising your hands or any of those things. That's all. That's the practical application of it. But it's the spirit man who's rising up and rising up and rising up. And the spirit man is worshiping God and worshiping God and worshiping God. And that life just begins to flow. When your spirit man starts to make a real connection with the spirit of God, then things begin to happen in your life. It's like I'm trying to think of a word, you know. Have you ever touched an electric wire and regretted it? I have. You get this, goes up your arm. Well, when you start to connect with the Holy Spirit, this power of God will start coming in your life. And that's when you'll start to feel the presence of God. Now, that can happen to any one of us, but what we need to do is start to reach into that realm by faith, begin to see that which is invisible to the natural realm. See, we've got to get out of where we are into where God is. God is trying to get every one of us to move into the realm where he is. Where is he? He's in the spirit. Most of us are in the flesh. We live our life by, oh, I hurt my hand, or I hurt my foot, or, you know, that aches, or that's the whole flesh realm. You look at your bank account, I haven't got enough money. That's all the flesh realm. God's trying to get us out of all this realm, get us over here where he is, and start to walk in the spirit. Now, we've been teaching on Tuesday nights, if you remember, if you live in the spirit, you must also walk in the Spirit. Let me read that verse to you. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. Galatians 5 and 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we live in the Spirit, see, maybe some of you here this morning, you're living in the Spirit, you're born again, that's great, you got a ticket to heaven, wonderful, but you're not living, not gone beyond that. You've got the life, the life is there, you've got the life of Christ within, but the actual walking out of it, day by day, is not happening. Hundreds and thousands, probably millions of people around the world today who are in churches this morning, I guess, and they are alive, but they're dead spiritually. They're not walking it out. You can't just listen to it again. If we live in the Spirit, let us also, as well as, or on top of, walk in the Spirit. The Amplified Bible says, If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have life in God, let us go forward walking in a line, our conduct controlled by the Holy Spirit. I gave the illustration that when we transliterate some of the words, it means that to be like in a military march. In other words, we're marching in a line in orderly conduct. We're being led by the Spirit. He's the commander. So we're being led along by the Spirit. That's what we talked about on Tuesday night. So we're not just living. So lots of people are living, but they're not really walking. They may be alive and they are going to heaven, yes, but they haven't done anything. So we've got to start and live the life so that other people can see Christ in you. See, it's not just about you being made alive. It's not just about you going to heaven. It's about you taking other people to heaven. And they won't go unless they see something real. You understand what we're saying? So if we're going to live the life, we have to start to see the invisible. We're going to live this life and be successful. And I guess every one of us will be going to heaven and taking some people with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Will you receive it all today?
Amen.
Okay. Bless you. Come on in, finish off.
Praise the Lord. Good stuff. Praise God. Yeah, there's so much more we can walk in and enjoy and be a blessing. Amen. We're going to do our tithes and offerings. And so if you can put that up there for us, Ulu, and we'll just read these scriptures for our tithes and offerings. So Proverbs 3:9, as we come to the tithes and offerings. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase." Amen. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. The Amplified says, "Honor the Lord with your capital."
Yes.
"And sufficiency from right labors."
Right.
"From doing right labors, from doing the right thing, and with the first fruits from all your income." That's interesting. The first fruits from all your income. So I pay my tithe off my wages, off what I earn, because that's the Lord's. And then I've sold a car and I've made a profit. The first fruits. But that car was already mine. I already paid for it. Yeah, but you've just profited by selling it. The word says here, you should take a tithe off that and give it to the Lord as well.
Yes.
And so, encourage. A lot of people don't do that. They go, well, I've already had that. That was mine. I sold it. And I'm not paying a tithe off that. That wasn't. But the Lord says, bring the tithes, but also the first fruits of your increase. And the other verse here we've got is up in the in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Let's have a quick look at that. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16. I was there. 16 verse 2. Is that right? 1 Corinthians 16, 2. It says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you labor by him in." It says, "Lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, and that there may be no gatherings when I come." And the Amplified just says it this way: it says, "On the first day of each week, let each one of you personally put aside something and save it up, as he has prospered." Yeah, as he has prospered. "In proportion to what he has given, and so that no collection will need to be taken up after I come." But the interesting part here is it says, "Lay some aside that you have prospered." And how have you prospered? You've prospered in proportion to what you've given.
Yes.
That's what it's saying there. So that's really interesting. So praise God. And I've been listening to some teaching on tithing and about Melchizedek. And you know the word says that Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, and he was a priest unto God. And Melchizedek's job was to receive tithes and to bless. That was his role. The word tells that Jesus Christ is after the order of Melchizedek. And so that is to receive tithes and bless. And so Abraham, before there was a law where you had the tithe, he paid tithes to Melchizedek as he was the priest of the All High God. He couldn't take his offering and give it to God personally, but he gave it to the priest, his representative. And Melchizedek said, "Yep, I'll receive the tithe and I'll bless you." And that's the same today, praise God. When we bring our tithes in, we bring them in, our tithes, and you know what? The tithes are received here and the Lord blesses us. But for the blessing to happen, we've got to bring the tithes in, amen? And so I encourage you just to keep that flowing in your life in all areas. Don't hold it up. Pay your tithes and be blessed. Amen? That's the process. So, and then you can move on and keep giving out of the increase. If you keep giving out of the increase, you get blessed, you pay tithes off that, and then you're blessed again. And then you pay tithes off that, and then you're blessed again. And now it becomes a lifestyle of walking in it, amen, in every area of your life. So praise God. God's good, the word is true, and we can rely on it, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right, have you got your tithes and offerings? Let's stand and let's have our confession of faith. Praise God. Hey, one of those would be great. All right, 1, 2, 3. I declare this offer, my offering seed today, and take authority over it. I command you to multiply and resupply all that I need. I receive the blessings of the Lord over my life, my family, my house, and all that's mine. God is good to me. He gave me Jesus. He's my life. He's my source, my only source. Thank you, Lord, as I sow my seed today, it is being multiplied, and I'm being blessed right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tony, would you take that up? Well, help me with that. Right.
So praise God. This is a good week. We're going to have a great week this week. Go forward and just honour the Lord while paying your tithe. Honour the Lord in every deed and action that you do this week. And just be, you know, be encourage you to be God conscious at every point of the day. Amen. No matter what you're doing, think about the Lord and say, thank you, Father. You know, help me in this. I need a download. I need some wisdom. You have you inside me. And so let the wisdom come forth and to do the jobs. Praise God. That's what I do. And it's a blessing. Don't forget the CD there, God's Faith. Grab that on the way out so you can keep the word flowing all through the week. Amen. We've been enjoying listening to CDs as we drive around. It's just how you feed your faith. Praise God. We're going to bow our heads. Tony, would you bless the offering and close?
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Bow our heads. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. We